And if you would, go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 13. That's where we're going to be tonight. And it's an honor and a privilege to really get the chance to not only preach God's word, but here we are, can you believe it or not, 1 week away from the first night, well, actually the second night of Walk Through Bethlehem, the first weekend. And here it is, 2 years in between last Walk Through Bethlehem and this Walk Through Bethlehem. If you go back, we started in 2002. How many of you were here when we first did Walk Through Bethlehem in 2002? 10 years ago. Amen. Look at all the hands. How many of you, this is going to be your first year participating in Walk Through Bethlehem? Man, look at so many hands back up for that too. You know, what a ministry this has become at Crossroads. And those of you that were here back in 2002, you remember a lot of the ways that it first started. And that beginning year, there was so much kind of unknown. We didn't know how many people were going to show up. I remember many of us just in prayer that we would have a couple of people show up and that we wouldn't be here one. And back then we would do it 4 nights in a row, 1 weekend. And it was tough. I remember we used the oil in the lanterns back then that wasn't smokeless. That was nasty. I'm sorry. There was sinus infections. There was things I don't even want to talk about on the platform. But it was bad. And then not to mention, you know, there's the smoke. But there's so many things that we've been able to improve on and change year after year to make Walk Through Bethlehem something that people would come. But it's not a show. Honestly, Walk Through Bethlehem is not a show. And a lot of times we might tend to treat it like that. And one of the things I want us to think about tonight is when it comes to being used of God to reach the lost, because that's really what Walk Through Bethlehem is. It's a ministry for us to be used of God to reach the lost. I mean, we hope that thousands of people will come in the door and be able to receive a blessing from Walk Through Bethlehem. But more importantly than that, we want thousands of lost people to come in the door to hear the truth of really what Christmas is about, and that it's not, you know, about a fat guy in a red suit with a white beard. It's not about a reindeer with a mysteriously red nose. It's not about snowmen. It's not about Christmas lights. It's really about the ultimate gift that God gave to us. And we want people to see that. Yeah, we talk about the manger, but you know, we don't leave Walk Through Bethlehem there. We take them into the final scene where there's a cross and a tomb, and they can see that cross meant something. Something happened on that cross, and the empty tomb stood for something. That's what we want to see people leave with, is knowing what the true gospel of Jesus Christ is. Well, here in Acts chapter 3, the Lord purposes to send out and use some men to accomplish His desire in getting the gospel out, specifically to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 3 really sets the stage for the missions ministry of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And I want us to look here tonight, and from this chapter, we can see three keys to ensuring a successful work for the Lord this year with Walk Through Bethlehem. I had another message prepared, but Pastor Dan went ahead and took it, I guess, and preached it last Sunday, so I had to retool mine a little bit this Sunday. But I love this chapter here in Acts chapter 13 because there's three great principles. Acts chapter 13. I messed y'all up. Don't you know where Paul and Barnabas were sent out? Come on. In Acts chapter 13, you know, Walk Through Bethlehem is not about how many people, like I said, that we can see come through the doors. It's not about how many people we can fill up the auditorium with and how long the wait can get. It's not about how many groups we send through the city. It's about how many people come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. And you know, if we put all of this effort and all of this time into it, and one person came and received Christ, it would be worth every bit. In this early church, they did some preparing. They did some things that I want us to see tonight in order to go out and be used of God for His purpose. You know, we have to work together. We're going to see some things that really are throughout the Bible. But here in Acts chapter 13, I want us to see three key principles that we need to make sure that we follow this year. Here we are entering it's been 10 years of Walk Through Bethlehem. We've had 9 actual events. This will be our 10th because we skipped that middle year, or last year. And in all of that, I remember as we began to talk about this about a year ago and how things were going to change because of our new life building, there was some unknowns again that rose up just like that very first year in 2002. And in many ways, I'm really glad that this year we had to move, walk through Bethlehem and set it up in a new place. Because let me read off to you some things that I have seen that have brought, or because of this change, it's brought to walk through Bethlehem this year. Because of this new location, it's caused a new design. And I'm going to say the men that put their time into redesigning the layout of the city, it's amazing. I took some time tonight after the actors had finished their last practice, and I walked through the city to look at it decorated and the new layout, and it's amazing. We used to think Walk Through Bethlehem was set up, in such a great way, and now that we've been kind of made to go outside of the box and redo it, I think it's even better than it ever has been before. It's led us to make some new construction methods, which, praise the Lord, instead of us being out there 5 Saturdays trying to build the city, we did it in 1. Amen? A lot of us are happy about that. We're able to construct the city in 1 Saturday, which has allowed us to really put a whole lot more into decorating that city and making it, something when people come in, it really puts them back into that time of walk through Bethlehem, or when during the Christ's birth in Bethlehem. It's caused a new method to getting the guests from here into the city. There's a long tunnel, which has allowed some other neat things where we can kind of be a little more regimented in getting the groups in at the right amount of time and help the people that are in the auditorium to get shuffled through a little bit quicker. So because of the changes, it's allowed us to do a lot of things. We've had new leadership. The new leadership has been neat to watch people step up in new areas with this ministry and take it to another level. All of these things are great, but we can't lose sight of the fact that all of this needs to be done because we're saying, Lord, here I am. Use me. Lord, we recognize that this isn't about seeing people talk about Crossroads as that church that has the camel once a year and walk through Bethlehem. It's about the church that I went to and I heard about the truth of Jesus Christ. And I came to know Him personally in my life and it changed everything. That's what we want to hear. And with these changes, we're reminded that we can't just assume that things will be as they always were in previous years. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to accomplish His work. I want you to see 3 verses real quick before we get into Acts 13. But look at Acts 13, verse 2. 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, say the next 2 words, or the next 3 words for me, the Holy Ghost. Who was it that they were listening to and relying on? The Holy Ghost. Look with me over in verse 4. So they, being sent forth by what? The Holy Ghost. And then we see again in verse 9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, and what's the next phrase? Filled with the Holy Ghost. We see that it was not about what they could do, it was about what the Holy Ghost was going to do in them. They were relying on the Holy Ghost. Here was a church that was getting ready to send out the first missionaries. They could assume, hey, we've got everything figured out, but they were relying on the Holy Ghost. And I remember there in 2002 when we were worried about if we were going to have one person walk through that door that first night. We were relying on the Holy Ghost. We didn't know what else to do. But year in and year out, we kind of can get a little slack and think, oh, we got this figured out. We know they're going to show up. And we begin to not pay as much attention to who's doing it, us or the Lord. And so with these things, I want us to look at tonight, how do we make sure that Walk Through Bethlehem accomplishes all that the Lord desires? Not what we desire, but what the Lord desires. 3 things I think we see here in Acts 13. The first I want us to see is that we must ready our hearts for the work ahead. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. This thing of being ready ahead of time, men that are married in the room, you can probably sympathize with this one. If you've ever planned a secret getaway that your wife didn't know about, and you sprung it on her in the last minute and said, hey, guess what? I'm taking you out 2 hours. We're leaving for 2 days. You think it's the greatest thing in the world. If your wife's anything like mine, she's like, uh-uh, that's not the way you do it. I don't know what is packed. I don't know what I need to bring. Where are we going? What do I need there? Well, it wasn't too long ago I did that. We got there. We had no toothbrush. We had no toothpaste. We had no deodorant. We wound up spending the first hour or so in the grocery store having to stock up on the things that we left behind because we weren't ready. We didn't take time to, I didn't take time to get ready. And when we don't take the time to get ready, a lot of times we'll forget stuff. You know, physically, we can be ready with Bethlehem. I mean, I walked through that city tonight. It looks amazing. I honestly, and I'm not saying it because it's this year and I want everybody to be, you know, encouraged and excited about it, but I think that city looks better this year than it ever has. I mean, the decorations and the work and everything, it's just, it's incredible. But we can physically be ready, but spiritually not. In Paul's letter to Titus, he charged Titus with this in Titus 3, 1 and 2. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. Then he says, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. He tells them to be ready to every good work. It means to be prepared. Have yourself equipped in the Spirit, ready for the good work. Because we know it's not us that does the good works, it's Christ that does the good work in us and through us. And Titus is reminded by Paul to make sure that those men are ready. You know, why would Paul need to write this? The Lord knows that our flesh is going to try to get in the way of doing things that please Him. Our flesh can get in the way. After year six, we can think, we've got it. No problem. We're ready. Good to go. And our flesh can get in the way. And when we're not ready spiritually, we forget things. And before the Holy Spirit ever revealed the plan to send Paul and Barnabas out, look what the church was doing. In verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, and that word ministered, it literally means to be a public servant. They were already serving the Lord. They were not waiting for, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do, sitting back and waiting. They were already serving the Lord by serving others. They were already ministering. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the word fasting, we know here, it means to abstain from food for a religious purpose. But the point of the fasting that I want us to see is giving up some things in our life that get in the way from us preparing ourselves for the work that's ahead. Because a lot of times when we think that we're ready, we don't take out the necessary time to prepare, and we allow our time to be filled with other things. They made special time to worship the Lord by abstaining from simple daily practices in this case. They would abstain from food, simple daily practices, so they can begin to continue to prepare to minister, prepare to serve. And remember, up to this point, the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet and told them what He wanted them to do. They were just preparing themselves. They were going to be ready for whatever it was that the Lord wanted them to do. Whatever came that way, they were already preparing. You know, if we haven't already started praying for Walk Through Bethlehem Church, we're in grave danger. This should have started long before the week of. Now, I'm going to challenge us tonight to be praying faithfully every day leading up to, but honestly, like we see here with this church, I don't think they just one day decided, hey, let's start ministering and fasting today, and then the Lord showed up and said, hey, this is what I want you to do since you started today. No, this was a practice they had been doing. It was a way that they were continually, daily preparing themselves. You know, giving up a lunch or watching a 30-minute program or something else to pray for Walk Through Bethlehem reveals a heart that wants to be ready for the work ahead. When you say, hey, you know what, kids, come on, let's sit in the living room tonight, and instead of watching a TV program, let's sit down, let's pray. Let's pray for Walk Through Bethlehem this coming Saturday. Or instead of saying, hey, let's go out and get some ice cream. Hey, why don't we just take that time instead and let's just stay home tonight and let's spend some time in prayer as a family for Walk Through Bethlehem. That reveals a heart that is getting ready for the ministry that's ahead. The church here was doing that. And then hold your place here, flip over to the next book, go past the next book, Romans. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here, Paul urges the church to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain, and what's the last two words? In the Lord. He says it's not in vain when it's in the Lord. We go out here to walk through Bethlehem and we do it all in the flesh, it's in vain. Doesn't matter how many people go through that city. Doesn't matter how many lost people go through that city. If we do it in the flesh, the Lord says it's in vain. This steadfastness and unmovable heart was a result of them being ready to serve, avoiding those common distractions in their lives that would hinder them from being ready. And the city can look amazing, but it can be done in vain. You know, we see that once the Holy Spirit did reveal God's purpose back in Acts 13, go back there for a minute, things didn't change. In Acts 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And then verse 3, and when they had, what is it? Fasted and prayed. They didn't just get up and go. They continued to fast and pray. They continued to prepare themselves for what was coming. They turned back to the Lord to continue to finish that preparation process. And that's really where I feel like we are this week. The city's ready. Everything's been just so well organized. Supplies have been brought in. Hundreds, almost, of thousands of invitations have been handed out. And we're at that point now where let's continue to pray. Let's continue to seek the Lord in this ministry, that He's going to do a great work, and it be of Him, not of us. The church at Antioch wasn't going to do any ministry without having a heart ready to perform it. Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But the second thing that we see, if we're going to make sure that this year's walk through Bethlehem is done in a way to please and honor God, the second thing, we must expect opposition from the devil. You know, in Acts 13, starting in verse 6, we see Paul and Barnabas, they go out. They go through their first city. They're able to preach Christ. They go to the second. And here in Acts chapter 13, verse 6, it says, and when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was in the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymaeus, the sorcerer, for this is his name interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. You know, there was somebody here trying to hinder the work of what Paul and Barnabas were doing. He was trying to hinder the work. And if we go into walk through Bethlehem not expecting some things to come up and Satan try to throw some things in your life to discourage you, to hinder you, to get you off track, then church, we're sorely mistaken, because he's going to try. And we could go back over all the years, and I'm sure we could give testimony of things that happened in different years, and how maybe it wasn't this. And one year it rained and we had to cancel. And man, we stuck it out there as long as we could until that thing became nothing but a pig slop and we just couldn't do it. But maybe it's an individual, whether it be from the greeting of the front doors to the music in here to our the tour guides in the back to the actors, wherever it was, but maybe somebody came in and had an argument earlier in the day with a coworker or a family member. And Satan wants to use that to develop a seed of bitterness so that when you're in here, you're not doing it in the Spirit. You're just trying to go through the motion. Well, this is what I got to do. I'm just going to get through tonight and I'll go home and deal with it later. And we allow these things to hinder us. We have to understand that there's going to be opposition. You can expect it from the first night. And Satan may not throw a sorcerer into the group the first night. I don't think so. But using anything like an argument with a family member, or the weather, or a guest with a poor attitude. Teenagers, I'm sorry, but sometimes there's teens that come through and causes some difficulty to the tour guides. Whatever it might be, we've got to look at that and laugh and say, Satan, you're not going to get the victory here. Christ has already got it. Do what you want. He's going to have control. The Lord's going to do it. And we can know that it's going to be Christ who does it through us. Go with me over to 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We have to expect Satan to attack and be ready for it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look with me at verse 3. All right, if you're like me and you went to 1 Corinthians, that is not going to work. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says in verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much, now look at these things, in much patience and afflictions and necessities and distresses and stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and watchings and fastings. By how? By pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. You notice how the trials that Paul's talking about there in the beginning and stripes and imprisonments and he goes through, how was it that going through those trials and those sufferings as Satan was attacking that he was able to come through victorious by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering? We go through that. Is anything in those verses of man? It's only of God. He had to completely rest on what God could do in him, what God was giving to him to use in that ministry. It wasn't anything that he did. The works of the opposition are listed in 4 and 5, but it's the power of God in 6 and 7, and then we see the result of walking the Spirit in 8 through 10, by honor and dishonor, evil report and good report, as deceivers, yet true. You see, the world will see it as one way, but God sees it as another. And it's by this that we have to understand that we are going to be attacked, but it's not going to hinder anything. The Lord, if we say, Lord, here I am, let the attacks come, that's okay. He'll provide the victory through it. Maybe it's that one individual in that group that's a distraction. So you get a little bit louder with your lines. Or you smile a little bit bigger at the front door. Or maybe you give them two cookies instead of one. Whatever it is, maybe it's that that turns them or somebody else in the group from being distracted to being focused. You see, the devil's going to try to beat us. Just like in any sports team, football or basketball or anything, if the team goes onto the field and just expects to have nobody else out there to compete against them, that makes no sense. They prepare and they ready themselves knowing there's going to be an opposition. We need to prepare and ready ourselves for walk through Bethlehem knowing that there's going to be an opposition. But through the power of Christ, we'll have the victory. We already have it. And so number three, though, tonight, we'll see here in Acts 13, in order to make sure that walk through Bethlehem is all that God desires it to be as He works through us, we must recognize every opportunity to share the gospel. Now, stay with me on this one because we can look at walk through Bethlehem in the big picture and say, well, hey, it shows the gospel to everybody that goes through. It's not what I'm talking about. Look with me at Acts 13, verse 14. Okay, Paul has already gone through the two cities and he goes on to a third trip here. He's already faced the opposition. He goes into a synagogue, and in Acts 13, we see how he has an opportunity. He takes advantage of the opportunity. In verse 14, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, Paul and the rest of them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Now, I don't think that the ruler of the synagogue expected what was fixing to happen. He was just looking for here's some more Jewish men, probably wise, you know, maybe they recognize him in appearance, who knows. But they probably expected to have a nice discussion with him about some more things that they were already talking about on the Sabbath. Not what Paul did. Paul saw the opportunity. He took the opportunity. And it says in verse 16, then Paul did what? Stood up. Man, he didn't even just stay there sitting down, you know, as they were all maybe sitting, talking, obviously, if he stood up. Now, when he was given the opportunity to speak, he went ahead and stood up. Oh, okay, here's the opportunity. And he goes on and he gives the gospel. He tells them about the Lord and what God was planning and what God has done and what the cross meant. And he was able to get some of them to continue to want to listen to him beyond that point. But my point is that here we say, well, his opportunity was the mission field. He was going. Well, here he had one specific chance where somebody said, what do you have to say? He didn't just say, oh, that was a good sermon. He said, well, if you're asking, I'm saying. And with Walk Through Bethlehem, you know, we can't just look at the fact that the whole ministry is an opportunity. You know, Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and here it is, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We see that being ready and taking advantage of that opportunity. There's opportunities every day to share the reason for Christ's death on the cross. But it's up to you to take advantage of that. And I tell our teenagers all the time, listen, if you're looking for an open door to share your faith, Christ did it 2,000 years ago. He opened it then. It's open now. Walk through it. Take the opportunity. Maybe you're working the front as guests are coming. Let's back it all the way up to when the car pulls on the parking lot. Maybe you're a parking attendant. You're one of the guys out there directing cars. The expression on your face and the way the words come out of your mouth is the first opportunity to show Christ to the guests. And as they park their car and we have people walking the property with information tags and different things and just there to assist people, you have an opportunity to let somebody see Christ working in somebody, that being you. In the way that you speak to them, the way that you talk to them. Being ready. Maybe they ask, why does your church do this? Open door. Hey, we know what Christ has done for us, and we want to provide a free gift to let them know what he's done for them too. And then maybe when they get to the front door and our greeters open the doors and welcome them in, everything about Walk Through Bethlehem, every individual has an opportunity to share the gospel, whether it be verbally, are just through the countenance on your face and the way that you treat them. From the walking around in the auditorium as ushers and things, our tour guides, the actors, you might be an extra in the city and you say, well, I don't have an opportunity to talk to them, but you know what? If they see you smiling and a good countenance on your face as you're being a part of Walk Through Bethlehem, man, that can speak volumes to somebody who's coming in looking for something to pick at. To the end of the tour, when they're in there, maybe it's serving a cookie and you're able to tell them how thankful you are that they took time to come to Walk Through Bethlehem. Whatever it is, we all will have opportunities and we need to be ready and we need to be alert to when that opportunity might present itself to say, hey, why do you guys do that? Why are you so happy? What happened back there in that manger and then what they talked about in the cross and tomb scene, what does that mean for me? Who knows how the opportunity might come? It may not be that easy, but if we're not looking, folks, we'll never find it. You know what it says in Colossians? Actually, go to Colossians chapter 4 real quickly. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. There, say amen. Don't fall asleep on me. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. And then what's the next three words? Redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. You know, we need to make sure that during Walk Through Bethlehem, it's not just the tour guides and the cross and tomb workers or the counselors that have the opportunity to share the truth with the guests. It's every one of us that's on this property. And we need to make sure that we take advantage of the time that God has given us on Saturday, Sunday, the following Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to let them know about what Christ is doing, not just here at Crossroads, but in you individually. We're all going to have an abundance of opportunities, but if we get too wrapped up in the occasion, a lot of times we miss the opportunities. I know a lot of times we can get here, we can be all excited about what we're doing. And we're serving with people we love. And we get to talking to them and we miss the person that just walked by whose countenance might have been down that we could have said, hey, we're so thankful to have you here tonight. You know, I'm just pointing out some specifics, but I know that I'm the same way. A lot of times I can get wrapped up talking to somebody I know and I miss somebody walk by that needed a kind word. And we need to be careful that, and make sure that we seize every opportunity, because every person that comes on this property is a soul. And if we're being used of the Lord's desire is to get that soul directed to Him if it's not already. And we can't get caught up in things. We have to recognize opportunities. Walk through Bethlehem is not a one-man effort. I think we all know that. And it's required all of us, though, to yield our hearts to the Lord, so we can be working together as the body of Christ. The last place I want you to turn is Philippians chapter 1. It's going to require us all coming together. We see it with the church at Antioch. They were all together. They were seeking the same thing, striving together. And then we see the words of Paul as he's writing to this church in Philippi, which was a great church. I mean, this church was doing tremendous, and Paul was really just boasting on them and encouraging them while he was in prison. And then in Philippians 1, starting verse 27, look what he says. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. You know, the way that people see us live when they step foot on this property or drive their front tires onto the property, they ought to see our conversation be as it becometh the gospel, honoring, worthy of the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you, Paul says, or be absent, I may hear of your affairs. And now here's what the affairs ought to be. That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving, and what's the next word? Together for the faith of the gospel. He says in verse 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. You know, I see all three of our keys in this one verse, or these two verses. He talks about standing fast. That's being ready. Stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's our readiness together. Making sure individually we're ready, and as a group, corporately, we're ready and prepared in our hearts. Then we see the second thing when he talks about in verse 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Paul knew that they were going to have opposition. He was reminding them. They knew. And then finally, we see the third thing when he says, to them an evident token of perdition. That's living out your testimony before people and taking the opportunity for them to see Christ in you. Because he says in that rest of that verse, but to you of salvation. It's the result of our salvation living through us that they see. We need to make sure that we're preparing our hearts together. That's what's so neat about this last Sunday night before Walk Through Bethlehem. We had to come together as a church. We can make sure that corporately we're preparing our hearts together. You know, if we're at odds or anything, you know, with anybody, family members, if there's anything that Christ can hinder us with, maybe it's a work issue or whatever it might be, and it's time this week to just let those things go and focus our hearts on God using us for this ministry. Not to see how many people we can get through the door, but to see how many people can see Christ for the first time and leave this property changed. And you know what? They may not leave changed. And that's where the opportunities continue. There's so many folks in this church that I have been able to watch be presented as members that got saved a year, 2 years, a month, however long after Walk Through Bethlehem. But it was Walk Through Bethlehem that brought them on the property, planted the seed, and then as people continued to take opportunity, when they came back to visit that first service, somebody recognized them. Somebody took time to, hey, I saw you at Walk Through Bethlehem. Or they got to talking to them. How did you hear about the church? Oh, I came to Walk Through Bethlehem. Well, here's my opportunity to let this person see Christ living through me. The opportunities don't cease on December 18th. The opportunities are going to continue. We need to seize them. We need to be ready. Know that Satan's going to try to attack and keep people from coming back that maybe didn't make that decision that night. And we need to look for the opportunities to reach him when we can. But tonight, church, I want to close and I'm going to pray. But I want us to be able to unite our hearts together this week, starting tonight, to make sure that we're ready for this event, ready for this ministry, calling on God to do it in us and through us. As we see here, relying on his Spirit in us. As the church there in the early church in Acts 13 started to do in Antioch. Let's pray tonight.